You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Hi, and welcome to the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL Podcast. Special CFL Playoffs Preview Edition. My name's Oz Davis. I'll be the co-host for the show. And joining me, as always, with his perfect 100% attendance record is Joe Pritchard. Joe, how's it going for you this week?
It's going well, and I found out today that I must make some sort of weird face when I say Regina. We had a work training today. And the trainer happens to be from Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. And for some reason it came up. I can't remember the context, but it was like, has anybody been north of the border? And there's a few people that raised their hand. And I was asked, it's like, yeah, I go up in here, Regina, Winnipeg, so on and so forth. And he's like, why did you make that face when you said Regina?
That's really weird.
So apparently it is sunken into my soul that it's playoff week in the CFL.
There you go. So you've got a nervous tick, Joe, is what you're saying?
Apparently I do.
Wow. Okay. Well, hopefully for most folks, this year's CFL playoffs won't be as traumatic as the Joe Pritchard experiment has shown. But let's talk a little CFL football. Tiny little bit about past news, I guess, at this point already. But we're mostly going to be focusing on that round one of the playoffs. Yes, this weekend. Right, but let's talk that news. Since the last Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast, last Wednesday, released on Thursday, that would have been what? The first? No, it would have been Halloween. That's right. We learned that Mark Trestman is unceremoniously out as Toronto Argonauts coach. Maybe a return to the Montreal Alouettes. Interestingly enough, according to the report that was run on the official website, CFL.ca, the new coach will also have to be James Franklin-centric, which I thought was a really interesting little detail. What do you make of this one, Joe? Should they have booted this guy this quickly?
It sounds like there were some issues as far as which personnel was going to play and when. And it's really interesting to me that it happened at all, because Pop and Trestman had worked so well together not that long ago. And then all of a sudden this year, it's, we think it James Franklin, who's going to be the starting quarterback next season is the idea, assuming Ricky Ray doesn't come back. And then Ray goes down right away, and Franklin doesn't get much of a shot. And then it's off to a veteran that has been on riding benches all over North America. So that was confusing to me from the get-go. And then they go and get Jerron Carter, and we've seen hide nor hair of Jerron Carter ever since. So you get the sense that they weren't in an agreement as to who was going to be playing where. And if you're the GM and you're under a little bit of fire and you're not getting along with the head coach, tossing him under the bus so that you have another clean slate next year seems like a pretty good idea to me.
Yeah, you said recent success. I mean, that's three great cups in this decade, right? So,
yeah, I'm just trying to remember.
Or 10 years. Not this decade, I should say. About 10 years. So, yeah, pretty interesting news there. But you had to figure that heads were going to roll. I'm waiting for the Montreal Alouettes to announce a replacement coach. But maybe that will happen after the playoffs, because I can't imagine.
Or, hey, how about a replacement GM? Because apparently they're sniffing around for GM candidates.
Yep. Yeah, well, wasn't the GM this year the field? Wasn't it a collective?
They have one?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the idea was that it was going to be done collectively. And, yeah, that worked out pretty well. In any case, like I said at the top of the show, let's get on to – we're on to next week. We're on to the next game. We're on to the playoffs. I myself personally, I just returned from Las Vegas, the greatest party city in the world, in my not so humble opinion. And so naturally, I'm sort of odd centered here going into the Grey Cup. I was able to make some bets on the Grey Cup. Actually, I wasn't allowed to on futures in Las Vegas, but I will be online. You betcha. Here are the odds, Joanne. Let me know what you think about these things. And we're going to give you a fictional budget of $1,000, and you can play it however you want. But here are the odds to just straight up win the World Cup. I haven't seen too many just win conference props. So we've got the Stamps at 5-6. Okay, that's better than even odds. And last week they were just over even odds before they had clinched that top spot. So now they're at 5-6. Saskatchewan Roughriders at 9-2. Ottawa Redblacks at 13-2. Winnipeg Blue Bombers at 13-2 as well. Hamilton Tiger Cats 9-1. And BC Lions 19-2, which is basically 9.5-1. Okay, what do you think? Where's the value here, Joe? And how are you investing?
It's obvious that the value is in Ottawa. Because you're giving the same odds for a team that is going to be on a bye this week and is going to be hosting one game to go to the Grey Cup. Right. And you're getting the same odds as the third place team out west, which has to go through both Saskatchewan and Calgary. Mm-hmm. So the obvious money here, the obvious value is Ottawa, because I have no doubt that they're going to beat the winner of BC and Hamilton, because I see them as two flawed teams. Not that Ottawa doesn't have its own issues, but I don't see either BC or Hamilton being true threats. And the same amount of money on Winnipeg, I can't see it, simply because they have to go through Saskatchewan and Calgary just to go meet Ottawa. Okay. And all Ottawa has to do is take down whoever advances, BC or Hamilton, which I don't have any doubt they'll be able to do.
Okay.
And then it's a coin flip.
Right. Right. See, that's what I wanted to ask you. Okay, so yeah, this is a reasonable bet for statistical reasons I'll get to in just a second, aside from what Joe just said. But you're not going to throw down your whole nest egg on the Red Blacks, right? Do you hedge? Do you hedge on the Stamps and or the Riders?
I don't see much of a point in putting a lot of money on Calgary, simply because you're not getting a lot back.
Right, yeah, the odds are terrible.
And I don't see a lot of value in putting money on Saskatchewan, because I don't believe they win both against Winnipeg and Calgary. Okay. That offense is going to hurt them eventually.
Okay. Yeah, sooner rather than later, probably. Okay, now also, I'll tell you what I went with in very shortly, but it was kind of interesting. I noticed on the official website, CFL.ca, today, their simulations that they do for matchups. And, you know, it's this typical thing where they run it through a computer. It calculates, you know, a couple hundred variables. They run it through the whole tournament through 1,000 times. They'll give you odds or percentages on how it came out. In their simulations, of course, the odds to appear in the Grey Cup is Ottawa. You know, at over almost 83%, 82.98%. So basically 83%. So what, that's 5 times out of 6, Joe? Yeah, it's 5 out of 6. Yeah, so 5 times out of 6, they appear in the Grey Cup. However, of course, to win the Grey Cup, I mean, Calgary is nearly an odds-on favorite here. In fact, they are an odds-on favorite because the matchup Calgary-Ottawa is 53.28%. Now, you were expressing some concern before, Joe, about how Winnipeg has to go through two teams to get there. However, in their simulations, Winnipeg is a more likely outcome coming out of the West than Saskatchewan.
I could see it because they have beaten Saskatchewan and they have beaten Calgary in their last matchups. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see that. And Winnipeg had been on a roll before they did not play all their starters against Edmonton. So I can kind of see the logic there. but I don't have a lot of faith that it happens twice.
Well, I tell you, Joe, I do. I'm going to make my prediction right here, or at least, I'll make my prediction. It'll probably change next week because I will lose. I'm going with the outcome that gets me 0.81%, so less than 1% of the time, according to the league's website. I'm going with Winnipeg, BC. I'm taking the two hottest teams in the CFL at good money. I'm taking them both. I am, despite the fact that, I don't even have to say despite the fact, along with the fact that BC just lost their last two after already having clinched and not having much interest in taking the number three spot in the West, I think they look good. Supposedly Solomon Elamimian will be back this week. Finally, he might have some effect. I hope he does. For their sakes and for my money. But this is the CFL, and I think in no other sport those old cliches about, you can throw out the regular season record, you can forget all about the marks, is true. I mean, time and again we've seen this. And I don't think that any team in the West wants to face Winnipeg right now.
No, but I do. I'm kind of wondering about why you're so high on BC, given that their road record is 2-7, and they have to go out to the East twice.
Well, I'm not that okay. A lot of this is just based on. I mean, again, I've been thinking that they're coming together at the right time. They're bringing players back from DL and whatnot. That they can use, and I'm really believing in the Buono mystique. I mean, this is where he makes a difference as a coach in the playoffs, right? This is how he brings teams that are not like juggernauts in the offensive season, throw away like half the season in some years, and still make these runs to the Grey Cup, if not win them. I think that, and this is his last chance to do it. He's going to bring everything but the kitchen sink in these games. And for one thing, I don't think that Hamilton can take this right now. I don't think that Hamilton is ready to play a desperate BC team. I mean, there is the odd thing about the home away records for BC this season. In fact, let's just segue right into the BC Lions Hamilton Tiger Cats game. I have this in my notes. Yeah, BC Lions were 2-6 away this season, but Hamilton Tiger Cats were 4-5 at home. And this actually got me to thinking, Joe. This gave me an idea. Tell me what you think about this. Okay. I think if you make the playoffs, but you have a losing record at home, you don't get the home playoff game.
I think if we're going to make any sort of changes, we need to do something a little bit more to the entire structure than just call it that.
Yeah, okay. I'm just pulling out all the stops against the Tiger Cats this season. In any case, okay, so we have the past record. BC won the first one in BC, naturally. What was that, 38-35, I think? That was in overtime. That was earlier in the season. And then following that, the next week, Hamilton just crushed BC, which had been looking like one of the better teams in the league to that point, 40-10. Okay, so let me just ask you the basic question first. Which of these outcomes would you more expect in this game? I mean, could Hamilton run away with this thing? You seem to not have much faith in BC at all.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in BC doing it twice. Once is one thing, and with Hamilton having as many injury problems at receiver as they do, I could see BC winning this game, and I think I might even do that, but I don't see them going and repeating that feat against Ottawa.
Okay. All right.
And I do think Hamilton keeps it close. But Hamilton's had some issues with their kicking game this year, and I think that alone might end up deciding this thing.
Wow. Well, of course, we here at the Rouge, White, and Blue, and particularly our co-host in absentia tonight, because apparently he's off doing responsible things as an adult, Dr. Rouge, would certainly enjoy that. That would be nice to see kicking dominate. But I think it would be more appropriate in the Ottawa game. We got to get the kicking game. The kicking game's got to be key in the Ottawa game next week in the Eastern Final. In any case, okay, for each of these games, I'd like to talk about a difference maker. The guy that you think the team that wins is dependent on this player, let's say. On this one, I'm going with Alex Green. Here's a guy who, of course, leads the Tiger Cats in rushing, and we know that BC Lions are tremendously weak against the run. They're the worst team in the playoffs against the run this season. I think they were seventh, in fact, overall this season. But on the other hand, Alex Green is their leading runner still, and yet he hasn't run for more than 76 yards or scored a touchdown since week 12. Okay, that's September 3rd. According to the schedule. Okay, so, I mean, again, BC Lions are catching a good matchup here. In fact, I forgot to mention this at the top of this preview here. The sportsbook has BC Lions a 1-point underdog. So basically, you know, this is a pick 'em. I always wonder about that minus 1 point plus 1 point for a playoff game, because it's not going to be a tie, so... Why do you even have minus one plus one? But in any case, this game is basically a pick 'em at the book. Are the Lions getting the ideal line matchup here?
I think they are, because with Illiman being back, they could limit that Hamilton running game. And with the receiver issues and with Jeremiah Mazzoli not looking as good as he has in the last little bit here – that might be the deciding factor.
Okay.
That and the special teams, as I mentioned before.
Oh, you like special teams. Okay. Special teams as an X factor, as a difference maker? Do you think?
Yeah, because if you're, because it sounds like Liram Hirelahu has had a lot of struggles lately. One missed kick could be the end of the season. You don't want your kicker struggling going into the playoffs.
Hmm. You speak from experience on this?
Just... Yeah, just a little.
Right. Okay. Let's see. All right. Well, let me ask you this, Joe. What's your pick on this game?
I've got BC 27, Hamilton 22.
Oh, okay. Great. All right. Well, my straight up bet likes you then. Yeah, I got the Lions minus one in this game. Yeah, I think BC Lions are going to win. I like your number. I can see it being around there somewhere. Okay, special teams has to be important. So I'll go with, like, I'll say slightly higher. I'll say like 29 to like 25 to the Lions. But yeah, again, if the Lions can completely neutralize that running game, they could win handily, because Tiger Cats just aren't bringing that much anymore. They just, yep, this is not the right time of year for them. Right, let's go on to Winnipeg at Saskatchewan. The Bombers are 3-point underdogs in this game. I'm just going to ask you straight up first, Joe. What do you have planned for this game?
Just watching it at home.
Oh, really? Nothing? Okay. All right.
Nothing too special. I'm not hopping on a plane or anything silly like that.
Okay, great. Great. Right. All right. So a little background on this one. Of course, in weeks 12 and 13, the Bombers lost the back-to-back, the home-and-home, the Banjo Bowl against the Riders. But the good news, of course, in Winnipeg was that week 13 loss was the last time this team has lost. And, in fact, they went on to embarrass the Riders, I might say, in week 16. Yeah, I guess it was week 16. 31 to nothing. In Winnipeg. It's interesting because I guess the media is taking the direct route to the storyline here, and they're playing up the quarterbacks in this game. Obviously, the Mr. Caleros is a big deal for the Riders in this game. He will be playing this week after being knocked out in week 20 on what was, in some folks' minds, a cheap hit by Odell Willis, but never mind that right now. I think that on the other side, TSN, CFL, other outlets are trying to reduce this game to a narrative on Matt Nichols. Here's a guy who at one point this season was booed by his home fans. Of course, this was before the bye and the return of Weston Dressler, which made everything nice all over again. How much is this game, Joe, to you about these quarterbacks, and which of these guys has more to lose?
More to lose? That's a good question.
I mean, aside from the obvious.
It is, I think, going to be reliant on the quarterbacks. Neither of them are the best at throwing the ball deep down the field. They make their bones by keeping the ball in their team's hands, moving the chains and giving their team an opportunity. If one of these quarterbacks starts handing out turnovers like candy, this game is over. We've seen that twice this season already, and I don't want to see it a third time. It's going to come down to whichever team can control the ball and can control the clock more and not give that ball up. I think the first team to hit three turnovers is in deep, deep trouble in this one.
Wow. Maybe, Joe, but I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of turnovers in this game regardless. I mean, you're talking about, on one side, Saskatchewan, you're talking about a team with, like, more turnovers than anybody else, right? And more defensive touchdowns than anybody in history, right? And, you know, on the Winnipeg side, I mean, these guys, too. I mean, they led the league in fumble recoveries this year. I mean, this is also a big turnover team. So I think there's going to be a lot of turnovers no matter what. And here's the thing. Zach Kolaros doesn't need to have that many interceptions to lose this game. I mean, the truth is this. Kolaros has thrown 13 interceptions this year. Now, that's in 14 games, right? But that's the most he's ever thrown as a starter. You know, including seasons where he's playing half a season. He had 9 touchdowns in 14 games. I mean, that's the least he's ever had since becoming a starter in a full season, in a reasonably full season. You know, so it's like it almost even doesn't matter. And I'll tell you what, my difference maker for this game is my new main man, Adam Big Hill. I think if you put a rush on Kolaros, finito, bro, you're going to get your 3-4 turnovers. Your Bombers are going to win this game if Big Hill is unleashed, and there's no reason to suspect he won't. I mean, this is a guy who has literally looked better in almost every single game this year. It was a beast to begin with.
Yeah, I really can't argue that point. You're dead on there.
Yeah, I mean, what can Zach do? What can Kolaros do? How does Saskatchewan win this game?
Well, by doing exactly what I said. Just they're going to have to create turnovers. The turnovers, and they're not going to have to hand the ball back. Okay. Neither of these quarterbacks are going to make you feel comfortable with yourself if you're down 14 to 21 points because all of a sudden you've committed 2 turnovers in deep in your own territory and the team's put up a couple touchdowns. You're not going to feel confident in your quarterback in this game to come back from that kind of deficit. Mm-hmm. I know we talk about the CFL, this league is safe. This is the most NFL-like matchup I think we'll see all playoffs where if there is a large lead, it's going to stay that way.
Mm. Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Who's your guy to watch this game? Who's your difference maker?
Well, you named him, Adam Big Hill.
Big Hill, yeah.
I think he's going to have to be the one that keeps the Riders from running the ball. Marcus Thigpen is a threat, a home run threat. If he would be the difference maker on the Saskatchewan side. If he can hit a home run or two. That could be the one big difference maker besides what I've already mentioned.
Yeah. I like Thigpen, too, as an X factor for this one, too. Okay, what do you like?
I've got the Bombers by 10 in this one.
I heard you smiling when you said that. All right. Wow. Okay, what is that then, like 35-25, somewhere around there?
something like that, maybe even a little bit lower.
Okay.
27-17, something in that realm.
Okay.
I've just seen the two games that the Bombers lost to the Riders this year were both close games, and the Bombers did everything they could to lose those games.
Yes.
And then the one game where they decided not to do that, they blew the Riders out.
Okay. Wow, and you're really not fearing this defense at all then. You really your guys can score 4 or 5 touchdowns against these guys.
They might never have to do that. If they can score a touchdown or two and kick 3 or 4 field goals, that should be enough.
Wow. Wow. All right. All right. I like the confidence. I'm not quite as confident as you, but I am backing the Bombers with real money. Plus the 3, definitely. I think they're going to win by at least that. I like my score. I'm gonna say it's a good old fashioned Canadian game. It's gonna be like 35-31 to Winnipeg. I'm sorry we couldn't disagree more this week, Joe.
Well, there's always next week.
Right. There's always next week. So next week we'll be seeing what? We'll be seeing Winnipeg at Calgary and BC at Ottawa. Okay, I can tell there's going to be disagreements on those already. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this week. Joe, take it easy on the beers, man. Your team will be okay.
I plan on it. I'm not going to go too heavy there. I gotta save myself for Grey Cup week.
Ah, okay. Yeah, pace yourself. Yep. That was my theme all week in Las Vegas. Pace yourself. It's a very good idea at all times when dealing with alcohol and or sports. Right. Okay, Joe, take us out. Last words of wisdom?
Last words of wisdom. Don't go too heavy on the Riders, the BC Lions, or the Hamilton Tiger-Cats to win the Grey Cup.
Oh, man. Wally's going to prove you all wrong. Wally's going deep into this thing. Right, in any case. Okay, well, short show this week. We'll have probably more for you next week. For my co-host, Joe Pritchard, and our co-host in absentia, Dr. Rouge, I'm Oz Davis. This has been the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast, and we will talk to you next week for the division finals. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.